Good evening, radio listening audience. I'm Gary Wallace, and welcome to our program, The Scorpion's Honey. Today's program, Judith, was written by Otrova Gomez for his book, The Scorpion's Honey. Notice how the master weaver of tales skillfully utilizes the element of surprise in this shocking story. I am not going to deny that my relationship with Judith has been tumultuous, violent, and sometimes rather savage. I also realize that the passion that I ignited in her may never be seen in any other. I was good looking and handsome back then, more so than I am now. I was 6'6" tall with broad shoulders. I was a real charmer. I had to listen to constant compliments from beautiful, audacious women. They playfully pinched my rear at every opportunity. They would passionately grab my arm, pull me close to them, and sensually kiss me on the mouth. Not that I'm all that chaste. I was actually a rather willing recipient of all that attention. I made my living practicing the world's oldest profession. I sold my body to eager buyers. My uncle had noticed how much women seemed to like me. He helped me organize the dishonest commercialization of my body. I virtually supported the entire family with my endeavors. Afternoon after afternoon, night after night, I rented my services to those who craved my affection. There were sailors' wives who felt they had been abandoned, wives that felt ignored, curious young ladies that had heard of my abilities, old, tearful, lonely ladies who were looking for a second chance at happiness. I remember this as a very busy time in my life. I had so many rendezvous during the day that I couldn't live up to my expectations at night. I couldn't sleep well. There were ugly ones and pretty ones. There were big ones and even some as enormous as Rubens Bacchus in oil. There were small-breasted, skinny ones and girls who practically had no rear ends. There were sunburned girls with peeling skin and older women with wrinkles and sags. There were so many that it was almost impossible to share my uniqueness, my dreamy eyes, my slender abs, my pecs, and my deep, comforting voice with all of them. I just did my best to send as many as I could to paradise itself. Don't get the wrong impression. I'm not a man without a soul. No, I fell in love like all mortals do. I truly loved Lisa, the love of my life. I love my wife, Maria, who's always been deliriously in love with me. Even when I beat her after a hard night out on the town. I love Petra, who has been my lover for 20 years now. She has never failed to be both loving and gentle. And I realize what a lucky man I have been. I don't want to leave Rosa out and her sister, or Graciela and her aunt. They were all that any man could have ever wanted. I'm not a Muslim like you may have suspected. Don't be misled. You can have a genealogy expert check my background if you like, but neither my religious beliefs nor my heredity had anything to do with my amorous behavior, even though my dear Maria might possibly accuse me of being shameless. I just loved loving women. I had a need for my attention. They had a need for my attention, and I felt obligated to satisfy those needs. That is it, plain and simple. That is how I fell under Judith's spell. Being the gentleman that I am, I want to establish up front that I did not realize at first that she was cross-eyed. It was a splendid, overcast day when I met Judith. The downpour that hit may have been a prelude of things to come. She emerged like the phantom of my dreams out of the multitude. She stepped into the line where we were waiting for a bus. She stood there face to face with me. I chuckled to myself when she looked at me with her dark, dove-like eyes. I gave her some of my best charming faces, and she kept looking at me unafraid and obviously not passing any judgment on me. I gave her one of my better smiles and a positive nod, but she still didn't respond. I have to admit that I suffer from what you might call self-admiration. I couldn't believe that she could be looking straight at me without being blown away with my charm. To top it off, I was wearing the leather jacket that my uncle had given me. With that jacket on, I knew I had a look that no woman could resist. Her ignoring me bothered me, so I moved closer to her. I put my hand behind her neck and kissed her passionately. She immediately tried to slap me, but it missed. Some of the people who were standing beside us in the line were shocked and attempted to interfere. Without letting go of her, I confused them by dropping to my knees and kissing all of them over and over. When I indiscriminately kissed one lady's bululu, a term we used to use in the old country, some of the women were overcome with emotion and fainted. The men were repulsed, dropped back, and wiped the moisture off of their cheeks. Judith was simply bewildered and assured me that she had not been looking at me. This is when she explained that she was cross-eyed and that she had only been looking for the bus to arrive. That still hurt my pride. How could she have the nerve to say that she couldn't see me? I couldn't stand it when I heard that. I jumped on top of her, continuing to cover her with kisses. I kissed her neck, her eyes, her tender, sweet lips. She desperately tried to pull away. That compelled me to start biting her. I nibbled on her earlobes, her beautiful silky hair, her neck, and on one elbow. The standers by were afraid that I would bite them also and ran away, trying to escape the craze of my fiery passion. After holding her captive, I finally returned to where she could see me with her good eye. It was then that she saw what a prize I was. Women are not stupid. She did what any woman would have done. She invited me to go with her to her apartment where she lived with her grandmother. It was there I made her mine. Of course, I had the good sense to take her grandmother first so she'd leave us alone. Judith learned that day what a raging bull really was. I honestly don't understand what happened next. The excitement was so intense that her hair turned white. She lost 13 pounds. She split her tongue open. I somehow cut her lips and cheek and separated at least one of her joints. I almost ate one of her legs off, poor thing. I had to call the ambulance. From the ambulance, she extended her broken arm and begged me to follow her to the hospital so we could continue our lovemaking. As they closed the door, she looked up towards heaven. Was that a sign? I really don't know if it was because she felt so good, was ashamed of what had happened, or was just having trouble adjusting her good eye. I could have gone to check on her or visit her at the hospital, but I didn't. I knew I'd never make it to her side without being attacked by other women at the hospital. First, it would be nurses, then the doctors, and finally the support personnel. I have abandoned all hope of ever being reunited with her. Slowly but surely, I'm accustoming myself to the fact that she will always be just a memory. Judith is a precious memory in an otherwise agitated soul. Alter egos can flaw the thinking of even intelligent minds. Tune in for another intriguing episode of The Scorpion's Honey. Thanks for listening to KETR 88.9. Your pledges make old-time radio programming like this possible. Your station needs your support. Donate safely and securely online now at ketr.org/support.